This podcast is brought to you by eRadio. For more podcasts, check out our website on eradiosa.com or download the eRadio SA app from the Google Play Store. Enjoy.
We're back again, Saturday mornings at 10. Welcome to Tech Plus, and if you just joined us, Saturday mornings at 10. It is a Saturday morning.
That's our new joke now. It's going to be like our motto. Every Saturday at 10. No, Saturday mornings at 10. It just sounds better like that, I think.
It really says very lacquer. I think that's a good ad as well, because it's kind of, it's like a, almost like a catchy tune. It's like, it gets stuck, stuck in your head.
What was that one show that you always knew exactly what time it was? You showed up for that, never missed a beat.
That must have been in my high school year, Sia and Alon, every night, 6:30.
Wow, that must have been in the lives of so many South Africans. At command, I could remember the Sia and Alon song, which I think is...
It was quite a high-pitched song. I remember walking... You walk through the neighborhood... Hey, yes. The original one. You walk through the neighborhood and then you hear that song.
It's just like piling out of the windows.
Out of all the windows, all the old ladies rushing to their TV sets.
Wow,
those were good times, man.
That was before
the story SABC was still watchable struggled. Back then. Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of struggle, we have a new South African business struggling. And if you can guess who it is with one guess right, I'll be pretty impressed.
Oh, okay. Well, yes, there's a lot of them struggling, eh?
South African Police Service. South African Post Office. It's because it's SAPO versus SAPS. They should really get better acronyms.
Close enough.
So SAPO, or South African Postal Service, has reported to Parliament that they require a casual bailout to avoid their entity going into liquidation sometime next month. The amount that they require is 3.8 billion rand.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I know. They've been battling for years. But I mean, who's still sending mail that way?
And there's no
way. Tell me.
There's no ways they're going to sell enough stamps to get that back, right?
Listen, but seriously, who? Tell me. When last did you receive a letter in the mail?
Like the last thing I got in the mail must have been like an account statement or.
Okay.
Something like that. But
they don't even send me accounts anymore. It's just, I don't even have a post box, God's sakes.
You know what's funny? I think the only thing I really receive via mail frequently is the municipal bill. They've got a whole business to deliver their bills.
Oh, shame. No, that's a bit, they have to get with the times. But I mean, I don't even have a post box, eh?
No, I don't either. And that's always something that my parents had. I mean, they always had a post box.
I miss it in a way, because remember when you had like pen pals and they wrote to you and you waited for like 4 weeks for them to write back, and then you rush to your mailbox and then you find all these advertisements and brochures and stuff, junk mail and stuff, and then in between it you find the perfumed letter from your long lost love.
As a part of the younger generation, I can definitely say that there are trace elements of how important the post office used to be. Like sometimes when you're filling in forms, it'll ask if your post office box is the same as your address.
Yeah, you know, and you've got to, I remember.
And then like account for it should be different, as if everybody has a PO box.
Yeah, I remember.
But I do not know a single person right now who has a PO box, to be quite honest.
And even TV shows back then, remember, you know, they would say, write to us at PO Box 47. Yes. Yeah, and you know, they would wait like 4 weeks or 5 weeks to get your mail that you're sending. Now it's just so easy; they get it in 4 seconds.
I actually remember from the radio and things when I was younger. There always used to be a thing like the broadcasting complaints and commission.
Yeah.
If you have any problems, the broadcast.
Yep.
You know,
then you can write a letter. That thing's still going, but now luckily they've got an email address.
evolve.
But I wonder what would happen if you... What if I... Can I still post something today?
Yeah.
You know, obviously not a parcel, like a letter. Can I still post it and will it reach the person?
No, no. Now we just go there and we just give things we want people to receive but know they're not going to receive. You know, it's like a,
okay, yeah. It's a sign of good faith. So it's going to get lost.
Yeah.
So no money in the cards or anything.
All jokes aside, I think your parcel will arrive. But I have notoriously known the post office to take the world's longest amount of time. I even know when you get something internationally, I think that's where the post office plays the biggest role, especially if they're not going through like a local South African business like DHL or the courier guy. Then it goes to the post office, and this is the craziest thing for me, and I couldn't understand it. What they do is when you receive a post from overseas, and I'm sure everybody knows this, but you get they do send you something. They don't send you the box. They don't put the box. They drive out. Instead of taking the box, they take a piece of paper.
Oh, yeah.
They write on the piece of paper, okay? A perishable item, I might add. And they take this little piece of paper. Instead of your item, okay, they're driving there. They come and they give you your pink slip.
And now you got to go to the post office
and then
to collect
it. They drive back.
What was that all about?
They come deliver they make the trip.
It's no wonder they're in financial difficulty. It's because of all that petrol they wasted.
They delivered parcels that never got delivered. They just dropped off the pink slip. Anyway, you would get this pink slip. And I think out of the 10 things I've had delivered in my life internationally, I've probably lost that slip like 4 times. And
oh, my goodness.
As far as I remember, I didn't get my stuff.
So you need that slip, hey? Otherwise, you can't go and collect it.
It's the most valuable item.
It's still there somewhere in the post office,
totally
whatever.
Totally replaceable.
Jeez. But I'm wondering, you know, you could also rent like a post office post box.
Then I think it becomes a lot easier.
If you didn't have a post box at home, you could rent one from the post office for like, back then it was like, I think it was like 50 rand a month.
I used to have a mad fear that someone was going to break into my post box if I got one and just steal my stuff. But who the hell goes around stealing bills?
You know, like, well, as long as they pay it.
Serial bill thief strikes again. People are left clueless as to how much they owe.
Now, if they pay the bills, it's fine, okay?
Man, I've got something to show you now. We've got a new... Okay, let's backtrack. Do you remember the Facebook Ray-Bans?
Yes.
Ray-Bans.
Yeah, boy, yes.
The glasses with the camera in.
Yeah, boy.
Yes, and then that evolved to the new Ray-Bans, the Wave Riders, I think they were called.
Yeah, boy.
And that was like the newer version of the Meta glasses. And those are the ones that I actually got. And we ended up testing them. And eventually they ended up releasing some AI features, which I find very useful. I can actually do, you know, it's actually very, very, very cool. And it can do all sorts of interesting question and answer stuff. I'm personally excited for them to have like an onboard assistant, but that was the Ray-Bans version 2. Now Mark Zuckerberg has come out at Meta Connect 2024, an event dedicated just for Meta to release all the latest stuff that's happening, and I definitely advise going and looking at it if it's something you're interested in. But they've just released the Orion AR glasses. These are a pair of augmented reality glasses supposed to give you the feel of VR, the world of VR, without the mega big headset.
Okay.
It's supposed to be a seamless layer between you and your digital reality. And there's videos of Mark Zuckerberg playing ping pong with one of the guys from The Verge. And basically, from what I can see, it really is akin to a VR headset. It comes with a wrist strap that you put onto your wrist, and it can pick up like finger gestures, like tapping your index and your thumb together, or tapping your index or your thumb and your middle finger together to do different type of selection processes, like left click, right click, for example. I'm able to have like 3 monitor displays. And this is all happening on your head. It's a pair of glasses.
Wow.
Some of the computation, some of the computers being handled by the phone. It's being offloaded onto the phone so that it can run more seamlessly. But that pair of glasses are not ever going to be sold to the public. They're just to show us what Meta has coming in the next few years. So basically what I just said there is a glimpse into the future of AR glasses. You know, they had videos where they did things like, now, I know people are going to like this. This is the first thing I would do is probably this. There's a guy who walks up to a table that's got different types of raw ingredients on it. Some flour, there's some raw ingredients that you would use to make a dish. And he just asks the glasses, you know, what food can I make with these ingredients? And it just starts telling him all the things that he can do and all the different ingredients that it's used and all the different ways you could prepare it. And it looks around the kitchen to see if there's anything there that it can use. So I was very impressed. I was like, wow, man, these are really, really cool. My only question is, would you wear it? If you could replace your phone, because that's basically what Zuckerberg came out to say. He said, this is something that you're going to one day replace your phone with. Would you replace your phone with a pair of glasses that has everything your phone has, except you don't have to hold it up for it to display information to you?
How do you type?
Your hands. So you basically just... with the augmented reality, it will display like a keyboard in front of you, and you'll just type on the keyboard.
Jeez, I'm going to need a moment, eh? Well, I'm going to miss my phone. I want to hold something.
I mean, I would maybe struggle to implement it a little bit into my lifestyle, yeah. But I think if you get the typing right and you get the transition between real life and digital right, and it really feels good and works, absolutely. I think you can definitely see a lot of people using it.
Do you think we'll still use it in our lifetime?
I think yes. Well, I think we'll definitely get it in the next few years, and it will definitely replace the cell phone, because all a phone is really, and we've gotten so used to it as such a physical device, but all a phone really is an interface of information by which you can access through the medium we are used to, which is as a phone.
Mm.
But when that phone exists without you having to pick it up, without you having to push an unlock button, without you having to point and shoot, without you having to remember not to forget it at home, then all of a sudden it becomes a different kind of device. Same device, different medium to interface with the device. Is it, if you never had to open your phone and move through it to do things, would it be more or less useful to you? You know, if you could fully control your phone without actually having to interact with it, it could all be done through something like thought alone. You probably wouldn't walk your phone around every day.
Yeah.
You know, if you could get everything done without having to use it, and you could display your phone screen in different places around your house, and it would always be up and around you, it would be like, why would you have a phone, a smartwatch, a smart ring, and, you know, that. So I think that's definitely where we're going to go. We're going to see the evolution of the mobile smartphone turn into some augmented device that is actually a part of your day-to-day more than an object which you carry through your day to day.
So you're going to see people snatching eyewear nowadays.
I don't think it's going to be in the next 5 years, but I definitely think you're going to start seeing it.
Just somebody yanking a pair of glasses off somebody's face.
There's just so many uses for it by which people would not be able to comprehend, because we're so used to the traditional medium of interfacing. But everything's built in. You get in your car, you want to go somewhere, built in GPS.
Yeah.
You're walking around, you want to go somewhere, built in GPS. On the ground is an arrow pointing you where to go. In a foreign country, don't know what to do, looking at a bunch of different doors with different icons on the door, turn the AI on, it will put in writing above the door what each door means. At a shop, want to buy something, don't know what food there is, automatic translation in real time right in front of you. In a place that's very confining, don't have enough space, doesn't matter, your AR glasses can display a heads-up display, and you can interact with a PC with like three different screens directly in front of you in a small little confined like passenger aircraft, for example. So I think those kind of use cases are going to be where that device shines. But it's not going to be this year, that's for sure. But it's coming.
Okay, not this year. Okay. So we're going to have it in the Christmas box.
It is definitely on its way. Next up, MultiChoice and American Media Titan are going to be putting a little bit of cash, just a tiny bit of cash, into Showmax. And by a little bit of cash, I mean a lot of cash. 2.8 million billion rands worth of cash.
What?
Going into Showmax. MultiChoice has announced that, along with the American media conglomerate Comcast, which we have spoken about it before in acquiring even more shares of Showmax,
sure,
has provided a $164 million or 2.8 billion rand in funding to Showmax since the 1st of April 2024. Imagine you had a business and you just got loaded with 2.8 billion rand to make that business successful.
2.8 million will already be enough. Don't even need 2.8 billion. But why not?
I wonder how much of that's going to go to buying content. The South African pay TV operator entered into a deal with Comcast subsidiary NBC Universal Media, for anyone who doesn't know, and Sky in April 2023 with the aim of turning Showmax into Africa's leading video-on-demand service. NBC Universal acquired a 30% stake in Showmax and supported it by licensing content from its Peacock, NBC Universal Pictures, and Sky platforms. By the 31st of March 2024, NBC and MultiChoice had provided just over $120 or 2 billion rand in equity funding to Showmax, bringing the total invested to $284 million or 5 billion rand basically has been invested since 2023 into Showmax.
Yes, like it. If you look at Showmax, you wouldn't even see the money. So I'm wondering, is it really going to content? What else? Is it going into marketing? Where's that money going?
It's definitely going somewhere. That's the
supposed
thing.
To go for content.
I haven't. I'll be totally honest. I don't think I've been tempted even once to get a Showmax account.
Not even with the new look and everything.
But I will say this. Change my mind. If you're in the audience and you think like there's a show that you're watching and or there's a shows that you're watching or there's a use case that you have and you feel like this is really, you know, something worth talking about, tell us and we will definitely talk about it. But
make us cancel Netflix.
Make us change our mind. You know that meme where guys are sitting by the table.
Oh, that table,
with a
poster. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's our
poster now.
That is so crazy. Then we have some other information as well. We've got people who have been playing the PS5 Pro who've been coming back. A lot of anyone who doesn't know, the PlayStation 5 came out about a few years ago, and over time we've seen a lot of different games get built for it, but no PlayStation Pro. Since the PlayStation 4 came out, we did have a PlayStation 4 Pro, but we didn't have a 5 Pro. Now it has been announced and released officially that we are in fact getting a PlayStation 5 Pro, and some of the testers have been able to get their hands on it and have made the clear kind of verdict that yeah, this thing definitely runs better. Probably the best way to play Sony games is going to be with the PlayStation 5 Pro. So the only thing that I'm worried about with the PlayStation 5, to be totally honest with you, is, you know, I read somewhere that for some people who might still have PlayStation 5 games that are exclusive to the PlayStation 5 non-pro version, those same games might release DLCs that are only exclusive to the pro version, which is asking a lot, because you're technically asking someone to put in another 50,000 rand to play the same game they've always had but the update. You know, it's like a big ask. But alas, it is out, and I'm sure we'll see it around, and there's nothing better than when a pro version comes out. For anybody who doesn't have a PlayStation 5 yet or has a knocked down broken one and you need to upgrade or change or get a new one, nothing brings the price down like a brand new version, you know. So that's probably something really, really exciting we can look forward to. And then also we're taking a look at some other news in South Africa as well. We have Eskom, who's recovering apparently diesel debt through some massive price hike. So I don't know if you've seen, but electricity has gone pretty expensive, eh?
And now they want to hike it next year by 36%. That's why all the political parties are protesting at the moment, because all in all, some of your lower income households won't be able to afford electricity at all.
That's crazy.
In fact, so that will kind of be the return of load shedding, where people won't have electricity, but not because Eskom can't deliver it, because it's too pricey. So they'll be with candles and stuff. Yeah,
that's wild.
A 36% increase to make up for their own diesel bill and all that kind of stuff. That's going to be hectic, eh?
36% is no joke.
It's a massive increase.
And it's approved, which is just...
Yeah. Well, they're trying to stop it now. They've got petitions and stuff going. So hopefully that's going to work. I don't know. We can't say.
Not much control we have, eh?
No, not
that's
at all.
That's crazy.
But you know what we can control?
What's that?
The music.
The music.
Let's go for some music.
Play it. That was great. 10 out of 10.
And we're back here on Tech Plus. If you just joined us, hello to you and welcome. Interesting story this weekend. The Standard Bank reported a significant decline in the number of transactions taking place at its physical branches. And this makes sense because, of course, the reduction highlights a notable shift towards digital banking channels. The number of transactions fell by 13% in the first half of 2024. But also during the same period, online transactions surged by 30%, reaching 1.5 billion. ATM usage also grew by 8%, with transactions rising to 104 million. So more and more branches closing. You see them closing branches in mainly the smaller towns. Like in our area, A good example will be Sedgefield, closing branches there and getting people to come to it, the nearest town, which would be Knysna or George. So that's kind of the thing they're doing now. But I mean, essentially, everything's going to go online.
That is. It already is happening.
It's happening.
Look at how people are buying their groceries. Look at how people are ordering their food. Even in Knysna.
I'm not even leaving the house. I can't remember when last I was in the actual store.
When I go to town, I see like Checkers 6060 driver, then I see Spa for You driver.
That's the only people.
Then I see Mr. D driver, then I see a Take a Lot van. And then
you know what we're going to end up with?
What?
Just a lot of Checkers 6060 shoppers occupying a shop. No actual shoppers.
A Take a Lot driver is going to come to your house. He's going to have your breakfast, your groceries, your food for the week, your tech.
We're not, you know, we're laughing, but that's pretty. That's
actually the accurate example would be a driverless vehicle arrives outside your door, just dumps all your stuff. All five drones fly out of the vehicle and just swarm your house for any open window.
As long as it doesn't come through the glass, you know.
Speaking of breaking glass ceilings, Starlink has made some considerable progress over the last few years, but most notably has just passed 4 million users.
And now, did you see who bet Elon Musk in America this week?
Who?
Our very own president.
Really?
Yeah. There's a photo and everything of them. They met briefly at some kind of business conference in America, and Ramaphosa was really, you know, wooing the crowd and encouraging them to invest in South Africa. Apparently, he had a nice discussion with Musk as well about getting Starlink in here. And all that kind of stuff. And he sort of used his charm to get Musk to invest more money here in our country as well. Whether it's going to work, I don't know.
Well, we'll see.
We don't know what they spoke about, but that's what they say, you know.
Well, I'll believe it when I see Starlink in South Africa. All I know is we've been shutting them out harder than anything. So
yeah, I can't believe when I saw the photo of the two together, I never thought they would actually meet in person.
I think they have a mutually beneficial solution because, I mean, there's one thing about South Africans, and they work flipping hard.
Yeah.
So anything you want to do in this country is a good opportunity for you. I mean, like, there's no doubt about it. A special breed. Next, we're taking a look at Google has a VR game studio. I think everybody has a VR and an AR studio now. It's just VR and AI studio right now. So Google apparently has a wacky VR game studio, and it just dropped a free game for Meta's headset. So Dimensional Double Shift is a 4-player co-op game from Alchemy Labs and the creators of Job Simulator, Vacation Simulator. Have you seen some of these simulator games? Do you know that you get like Grass Cutting Simulator?
What?
So you play a game where you drive around, you cut grass in different lawns.
Jesus, okay. It's not bad enough cutting your own lawn.
You have PC Builder Simulator where you pretend to build a PC.
Okay, I like that.
It's like
that.
Truck Driving Simulator where you pretend to drive, you know, like trucks and stuff over.
I'd love to try that. Yeah.
There's a doctor simulator where you simulate being a doctor, but in like a very friendly fashion, you know, not quite the open heart surgery.
Oh, okay,
that
that's
imagining.
Good. Yeah, I don't want to faint.
You get all sorts of different game simulators. There's even some wild ones. But yeah, absolutely, that's a new game, and we can expect a lot coming from Google VR, as they are really cool. And then remember we spoke about Amazon. Amazon was acquiring a company by the name Anthropic. And they've just recently been cleared that that they can officially purchase and become an official purchaser of Anthropic. And they don't qualify for merger control investigation and rules. Because you know that kind of is what happens when these big companies kind of come for one of the smaller guys. And then all the competitor big companies are like, he's starting a monopoly.
Yeah.
And then they start investigating it and then slow down. But it kind of feels like every single time they make a move, everybody slows everyone. Like they don't use it to do anything good. They just use it to slow down their competitors. Like make their feet move a little bit slower, get to the target a little bit slower. But no, alas, there's no anti-monopoly rules there for Amazon.
Hey, but Amazon is obviously here in South Africa now.
And their products arrive so fast.
Really, but
I feel like they're running a campaign to get those products to us. I ordered something and like the next day it arrived.
I was going to ask you now. Okay, obviously Takealot's a big competitor. They've also got the next day delivery thing, but I mean that's only for the big cities. But somebody also said, you know, they don't know what the fuss was all about, because a lot of people actually, now that Amazon's here, they don't use it. So they find that the prices are still more expensive. Somebody even said that if you order from the US Amazon, it could be cheaper than using the South African one. Have you heard that?
Until the import tax comes for you and you get a call from customs saying, hey, you know, you're going to drop this 35%.
So is that possible? Are they talking nonsense?
It is possible because you have independent sellers.
Okay.
So if me and you are independent sellers and I want to take a loss selling this product, I can absolutely do that. But there's still the, you know, if you are buying it internationally, it's very likely that it has to come through customs, and that you usually just get absolutely wrecked at customs. Like you even saw with Temu and Shein, they're like, oh, that's an interesting gray area, boop. That's gone, you know. Now Temu and Shein have like a whole new tax brackets problem that they have to deal with,
and they're suing each other as well in the meantime,
and they're fighting each other, like everybody's fighting them, and they're like so fixated on a war between each other,
you know? What a circus, eh?
Oh man, it's actually crazy. Speaking of crazy, Ford, a little bit behind here, their Blue Cruise 1.4 update now lets you keep your hands off the wheel for longer. Blue Cruise 1.4 will ship with the new 2025 model of Ford F-150 and Lincoln Navigator, and will come as an over-the-air software update. Ford is releasing a new version of its Blue Cruise hands-free driving software, version 1.4, which it claims will let you keep your hands off the wheel twice as long. In fact, the company tells us it can now run an average of 5 times longer compared to last year's version 1.2 and double that of 1.3, which rolled out more recently. So that's pretty impressive, but I think they're still very far behind. It's actually amazing how far ahead Tesla is. The fact that they're fully autonomous, self-driving.
Mm.
And I've even got picked up by a Tesla and then driven somewhere, and the driver's like hardly driving. I don't know what the role of a taxi driver in a Tesla is.
Were you in a Tesla?
Yeah.
When was this now?
All the time.
What? Where?
When I was in Dubai.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. You didn't tell me about
that. And you would
that,
choose. You would like, they would, the Tesla would cost like 400 Rand.
What was it, Uber?
It's like an Uber. So the Tesla Uber would cost like 400 Rand. And it would take you like as far as, you know, maybe halfway to Sedge or something. So it's pretty reasonable. I mean, it's not that expensive, you know. You're going to pay like 300 Rand to Sedge anyway in an Uber, probably. 250, 300 Rand to Plett. So it's about 400 Rand for a Tesla. And there's different types of Teslas. Like there's the really fancy ones and the less fancy ones. But the really interesting thing for me were the G-Wagons. You can either get a Tesla or like a GLC. It was like this car I've never seen in South Africa before. It was absolutely massive. Its cars opened at the center. So the front door opened out towards the front of the car and the back door opened towards the back of the car.
What?
But it didn't have a frame in the middle. So it literally just opened up like a double door passenger door of the car.
Gee.
Yeah, it was weird. Highly interesting. And it was bigger than your big SUVs, like bigger than the biggest SUVs you get. It's a completely another type of car. And that was actually more impressive to me than the Teslas, because it was just such a large vehicle and so fancy. The inside looks like a Lamborghini. It's just like,
wow.
Just really like a car. It's very interesting seeing a car you've never seen before. It kind of made me feel like a kid again exploring a new brand.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what is this? You know, this is
well, you were very fortunate.
Yeah, and at the back of the car, it has two USB ports.
Oh.
Two USB-C ports on the side.
Oh, wow.
That's, for me, I mean, a millennial, bro. Like,
that's brilliant,
A USB-C at the back, I mean, total different from what I'm used to, which is cigarette car charger. You know,
absolutely. Oh my gosh!
So that is that was a crazy one. And then here's another super crazy thing. So apparently, Michael Strait, a former jockey paralyzed from the waist down, was left unable to walk for 2 months after the company behind his $100,000 exoskeleton refused to fix a battery issue. Apparently.
What?
So that's pretty crazy. This guy was obviously wheelchair bound, paralyzed from the waist down, and he wasn't able to do anything for 2 months after the company behind his exoskeleton kind of vehicle refused to fix a battery issue. You have to pay $100,000 for the machine. And yeah, you can be left paralyzed for days on end. That's crazy, eh?
Wow.
That's actually mad. That was someone in the UK.
That's not very nice.
Well, I couldn't think of anything worse than being bound to the chair that's supposed to make you feel more free, you know?
Yeah, no, sure.
So that's actually crazy. Mm-mm. And then we have a new type of device, which I'm super excited for coming to VR, which is basically Logitech's pen-shaped Meta Quest controller. So what it basically does is it allows you to potentially be in a VR type world and have a feel of a pen. You know, when you're in a normal VR world and you're trying to do a design task, you're using the Oculus Quest controller, which is very much dedicated to being more of like a gun trigger than a stylus. So this is essentially a stylus for VR and allows you to go into VR and do heavy design work like 3D painting and printing and 3D modeling and canvassing and texturing and all that kind of workload with this unique pen-like device. And I'll tell you what, I'd probably buy it if I could. And then we have NVIDIA, and probably the best thing to come to gamers note is the new RTX 50 series are going to be coming out soon. And with the 50 series coming out, praise it be, the price of graphics cards go down. So it's an excellent time if you do happen to have a 40 series or a 30 series GPU that's any like 3050, 3060, 3070, etc., or 40 series GPU lying around and you're not using it and you're considering it selling it, I would definitely sell it now and you get a whole bunch more money for you. In the same way, if you're looking at potentially buying a 30 series GPU or 50 series GPU, or a 40 series GPU, if you're looking to buy the 30 or the 40 series GPUs, wait a little bit for that new gen to come out, the 50 series, and you're bound to get a way better price on those devices, especially if it's secondhand. And is it time for a music break?
Indeed.
Let's do it.
And welcome back to Tech Plus on this Saturday with myself, Jan and Kane. We're in the final stretch now of this week's update when it comes to technology. Kane, what's next?
So how into security cameras are you? Do you think you'd ever kit your whole house with a security camera everywhere?
I've got one.
Would you go so far as to put many everywhere? Would you be like totally crazy about it, or do you just have it for peace of mind?
I want more.
Really?
Yeah, I want at least two more.
What is the
outdoors
ideal setup, would you say, for a camera setup?
Well, mainly outdoors, just at all the entrances and exits, you know. Not really inside, because you'll see when somebody's coming in.
And do you think you would rely on the AI to notify you of when it detects movement, or would you like...
I'm already relying on it to detect movement in my backyard, and it's working amazingly. Them. I just get a message, motion sensor alert, backyard. Then I check, and then it plays the last 5 seconds, and I can see what happened. It's usually a cat.
Yay! Because I always find it quite interesting how we've evolved almost indirectly. No one came to us and told us having TV screens for each of your cameras isn't needed. It's just you don't need it anymore because the software is able to play your supervisor role.
Mm.
They just bring to your attention when there's something you need to look at.
It's crazy. I love it.
You know, you don't need 5 displays. You don't need a camera in your one room that has all your cameras. A display in your one room that has all the cameras split
across.
Not
at all. Just an app on your phone.
You don't need a monitoring room. Nothing. You don't even. In fact, you don't even need to monitor. It's all recorded and it just shows you it when it's
and
relevant.
Cloud-based. So they can steal the camera and you'll still have the footage.
It's changed so much.
What a time to be alive, eh?
So the newest security camera from Eufy, Anker's smart home company, can see clearly in the dark, uses radar motion for sensing for fewer false alerts, and records 24/7 when wired. As with other Eufy cams, the new S3 Pro has free facial recognition, packaged vehicle and pet detection, and locally stored recorded video with no monthly fees. That's a big one. If you go buy a Tapo security camera, you have to pay a subscription every month to actually have access to that cloud storage.
Same with the one I've got, EasyVis or whatever it's called.
So now you buy a camera, you're locked into, a year, 2 year, 3 year contract. But what I must say is so impressive is how good the night vision has got on those cameras.
Yeah, because you also have a cam on your pets.
I do. And it's, the night vision is insane. I mean, maybe I'm like new to the game here, but yeah, the night vision that...
But same with mine. It's got, what's it called? IR.
IR.
Yeah.
Infrared. I mean, yeah, this Eufy cam, for example, people have said that it makes nighttime look like daytime.
It does. It makes everything so bright. Just people's eyes or animals' eyes look quite funny with the IR on.
Dude, it's like...
Yeah, it shines. Alert. Yeah, it looks like demons. Yeah.
That's I once what I don't was late at night and I was looking at my camera for my pets, and because I moved the camera, it made a noise, and I just looked at it and I was like, you guys look... like
demonic,
you're ready to haunt someone terribly, you know.
But it's a handy tool, and I mean, you also have two-way communication through the camera, so you can talk to your pets. Yes. And you can hear them back as well.
Absolutely. So apparently a deepfake caller pretending to be a Ukrainian official almost tricked a US senator. Apparently the caller, who looked and sounded just like a Ukrainian former foreign minister, asked politically charged questions in relation to the upcoming election. So the head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee took a Zoom call with someone using deepfake technology to pose as top Ukrainian official, the New York Times reported. Seen Ben Cardin received an email last Thursday that appeared to be from Dmitry Kubler, Ukraine's former foreign minister, asking him to meet on Zoom, and the person on the other end of the call reportedly looked and sounded like Kubler but was acting strangely. He asked Cardin politically charged questions in relation to the upcoming election. So what that basically means is, like, it's getting pretty gnarly now, eh? I mean, people are using AR and VR, and, well, not necessarily, there is a certain element of VR and AR when you, and AI when you pretend to be someone on the line with someone using deepfake technology to look like someone, sound like someone, move like someone. That's some other level of stuff. And I always think of it like, you know, if you don't think it's bad, if your mom called you and just went on a story about something or other about why you needed to quickly send some cash, how likely are you to be like, mom, are you AI? You can play. You know what my mom would say to me if, in the randomly in the middle of her asking for help, I just stop her and be like, can you just be honest? Are you AI right now? Is this AI? Like,
what would she say?
What would she say?
Yeah, are you high, bro?
I'd spend 10 minutes explaining what AI is. You know? It wouldn't
work. Is
she
listening?
So you just wouldn't know. The average person just is not going to assume.
But maybe you could say, hey, I just want to stop the call quickly and I just want to ask you a question, and then ask them something that AI wouldn't know.
Or like, ask them something only Google would know and your mom wouldn't, so that you can question their intelligence. Like, hold on, like, how did you know that? Like,
exactly, yeah.
Break it down for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, what was the song that played at your wedding or something like that, you know?
But fake, go on the internet and put Easter eggs. Like, start talking about different songs that was at your mom's wedding. Like, start, like, playing into it. Leave Easter eggs to, like, honeypot them. Man.
Oh, that's interesting.
On that note, is it time to end?
It's time to say goodbye. Kane, thank you so much for another great show. And that's our final one for the month of September. Eh? Can you believe it?
It went so fast.
It really is. I mean, we can just as well put the Christmas decorations up. And it's another cold weekend. I don't know where spring is, and I certainly don't know where summer is. It's like they... very late this year, hey?
When I walked into Mr. Price's home, I saw they already have their Christmas stuff out.
Are you serious? I was just joking. Yeah, but they say in America,
holiday.
After the Halloween decorations come off, the Christmas decorations go on in America.
Yeah, they just skip that part. Get the Christmas ready first.
It's really, I mean, just look at what's left of my diary here for 2024. That's crazy. The year's gone.
We're not ready.
Yeah, we're not. Jeez, we just started. Anyway, that's the end of today's show, and also all the best to the box playing this afternoon at 5 o'clock. We hope you're going to win this one. Just keep Marnie Libok away from the kicking duties. Please keep him away from all the anything to do with kicking over what do you call this?
The posts.
Yeah, please. Manila tay pala to Skopli. Thanks, Kale. Have a lekker weekend.
And thank you so much for everyone listening. And see you same time, same place next week.
Cheers.
Bye bye.
This podcast was brought to you by eRadio. For more podcasts, check out our website on eradiosa.com or through the eRadio SA app from the Google Play Store.